Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3,
an Odyssey station.
Here on Danny and Dusty on a Tuesday afternoon, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. And I should just say, I need to point everyone directly to the Air Force football social media page where they have released the AFSOC jerseys.
Did not miss.
Boy, are they pretty.
Did not miss.
I should also direct you to my Twitter, because that's where the polls are all posted up now for which team has the best rivalry trophy. Today's edition, today's round, we have some bangers, and well, I'll be honest, we close with a whimper.
Well, we really do.
Three of the four, pretty damn good.
Really?
Two,
tough.
Great, one, good, one, it's not great, Bob.
No.
But we're going to open with an absolute banger.
Yeah.
The old oaken bucket between Indiana and Purdue.
Look. You should not care about a football game between Indiana and Purdue, but what you should do is care about the old oaken bucket.
Mm. It is a beautiful old oaken bucket with I's and P's linked together for wins.
Yeah. So, you get an I if Indiana wins, P if Purdue wins.
And they
right?
get linked together in a chain.
You link them and then you throw them in that oaken bucket. Now, this goes back to like 1925, where I assume it was a new oaken bucket at that point.
Sure.
But they're like, what? Something that we can give that's really nice, see? And they're like, how about an old oaken bucket? They're like, what about a new oaken bucket? And that's how this trophy came to be. Oaken bucket is the most typical Hoosier form of trophy. I don't know why that is. But apparently the state of Indiana loves their oaken buckets. Durable. Oak. Solid wood. And it's in the state of Indiana. I have no idea why this is their trophy, but I'm in. It's a cool looking trophy, and the fact that you have the interlocking I's and P's for each of the winners, sign me up. And if we're being quite honest, it bounces back and forth quite often because they both suck. They're not very good. We were talking about some of these trophies, like the Illibuck, right? The turtle, wooden turtle, that basically just lives in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
Because they just beat the bejeebers out of Illinois. Well, this one has bounced back and forth. When you go back, the last 10 matchups, 6 have gone the way of Purdue, 4 have gone Indiana's way.
And it's there's a lot of I's and a lot of P's on that
No, wait, no, we're 5-5. 5-5. 10 years split down the middle. It's not because they're good.
No, but that's what makes the rivalry fun.
It's competitive, though.
I mean, speaking of one that's very one-sided, is going up against, and this is, again, this is a banger of trophies here.
Yeah.
The old Oaken Bucket of Indiana-Purdue is going up against another Big Ten rivalry trophy, the Little Brown Jug between Michigan and Minnesota.
They do trophies the best. That's what they do in the Big Ten, is they do trophies, they do cheese, they do pigs, sausages, and corn really well. But trophies really stand out. Little Brown Jug between Michigan and Minnesota. Again, this is one that it lives in Ann Arbor, if we're being quite honest. Takes a little bit of the luster out of it. Since 1987, Minnesota has won this game twice. If you want to take it back to 1978, Minnesota has won 3 times. If you want to go back to 1968... Minnesota has won 4 times since 1968.
Look, it used to, there were good battles between Michigan and Minnesota. You're talking about two of the founding members of the Big Ten, so it goes back a ways. The actual Brown Jug originated in 1903.
Ooh, I'm in.
The Michigan Jug. And it was
Fielding Yost.
Yes, and it was because he was afraid that Minnesota was going to contaminate their Michigan water supply.
Oh. So and he had jugs of, he brought his own jug Michigan of water.
Uh-huh.
And he would mark the wins that Michigan would have on that water. Look, I'm finding out that turn of the century Minnesota, not a kind place.
No, racist and trying to poison water.
Yeah, we learned that with the Floyd of Rosedale trophy against Iowa. Their fans were all racist towards Iowa players, and so they named the Floyd of Rosedale trophy after the racist governor Floyd of Minnesota.
A big pig.
A big old pig.
Hmm.
And now we have Fielding Yost was worried that they were going to poison their players with their drinking water.
All I can think of is Coach Yost. Coach Yost.
This is fantastic. I'm going...
I mean, it's Little Brown Jug.
Little Brown Jug, final answer.
And again, you can vote at Danny Morang on Twitter. It's been retweeted by the show accounts and the 1080 account. You can find it across those as well. Matchup number 2. Again, 2 bangers. The Fremont Cannon between Nevada and UNLV is up first in this little adventure.
Okay.
Listen, a cannon? And we're not talking, it's not a little cannon. We're talking about a whole cannon, like wheeled cannon, open field warfare.
Yes, this is a cannon that... I think they paint it navy when UNR wins. They paint it red when UNLV wins. So it's got like the, I don't know, military guy. What's the part of the cannon where they actually shoot stuff out of? What's that called?
The barrel?
Yeah, the barrel. The barrel is gold, which is badass. Mm-hmm. And then the base of it is all painted to whichever school wins the trophy. I'm here for it. I think that is really a cool trophy because you could fire that bad boy off. And I went down to UNLV 2019. I went down to UNLV and checked out their facilities. And literally in the entryway of their football, brand new football facility at UNLV, they had the cannon on full display in all its glory, lit up. They go all out to present the Fremont Cannon Trophy. It's a really cool trophy. It is big, too. It's a really big cannon. I'm in on having things that go bang for your rivalry trophy.
Yes. Anytime there's some sort of explosive available, I'm all in.
Yeah. No way. You?
Mm-hmm. Matchup number two concludes with the golden egg between Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
All right, I had no idea why this was.
Have you read about this?
I did, yes.
It was a full-on fracas. A victory by Ole Miss, who at that point in time had struggled to beat Mississippi A&M, beats Mississippi A&M 7-6. Is it 1923, 1926? I can't remember. 1926. And it turns into full-on pandemonium.
No, it was WWE. Like, they were using chairs, and they were beating Mississippi State fans over the head with chairs.
Yeah. No, Mississippi State fans were beating up Ole Miss fans
with chairs. They were bringing the chairs out, and it was...
They were mad that they lost because they had won, like, 23 straight.
It was
like
Mankind jumping off the steel cage onto the ring full of thumbtacks.
Macho Man was running down... It was awesome.
Like, it devolved into a full-on riot.
It just means more.
It was a fraternity that came up with the golden egg as a dignified way to celebrate.
Why an egg?
It's soft and fragile and may break?
What are you guys drinking? What kind of moonshine was going around the fraternities in Mississippi to where they're like, golden egg?
Well, I mean,
It's
more swamp water down there. The good shine doesn't make it down to them.
Holy smokes. All right.
But it's to be fair, look, it's going up against a cannon. It's going to lose.
Yep, cannon's my vote.
But it's a good trophy.
Yep.
It's a good-looking trophy. All right. We have another three-way, a menage a trophy.
Oh.
The Beehive Boot. Between Utah, BYU, and Utah State, and it is a big leather, like, original, like, beekeeper boot.
Okay. I get it. Bee State, Utah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question.
Go on.
Why is Utah State involved in this? When is the last time Utah State won the Beehive Boot? Oh.
I say this got to be actually relatively recently. They had a couple good teams.
2014.
Yeah.
2014, and they just claim this.
So, actually, what's crazy is the history is very one-sided in the favor of BYU.
Yeah, but wait. They haven't awarded... They've only awarded it twice since 2017. But the year that Utah State won it, BYU and Utah did not play. Utah and Utah State did not play that year. So just because Utah State beat BYU, they're like, yeah, we're going to call dibs on this. We're going to go claimsies on it. You can't do that. Don't all three teams have to play every year if we're going to be awarding a trophy for it?
You'd think. And yet, here we are.
Last year.
But I like the fact that this doesn't make sense.
Last year, it was not awarded at all because BYU and Utah didn't play. There was no Holy War last year?
No. There's been a bit of a beef there.
None of the three have played each other this past.
And now they're going to again with at least BYU and Utah. That is a rivalry that's going to resume. I like these three-way ones that are a little bit weird like this because you do have some little brother type stuff.
You sure do.
But you also, as much as BYU has won this 24 times to Utah's 15, Utah leads the all-time series. Pretty handily over BYU. It's 60-35-4.
Whoa.
So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. The Utes have been pretty dominant. Now, BYU had a period there where they got really on track when they were a national power. But otherwise, Utah has pretty much dominated that matchup.
Well, they also dominate Utah State. Their record against Utah State is 79-29-4. This is not even a competition.
No.
Move over. And BYU holds the... Let's see, Utah State. Now I see why they just claimed it in 2014. Because they don't get... They're getting dominated by all these teams.
You just figured out from there.
All right.
But it is going to face off against the Centennial Cup. Colorado and Colorado State. It's a cup on a piece of wood.
Yep, cup trophies played out.
And again, this
Give me a golden egg over a cup.
But look, I mean, a boot.
Boot is unique.
It's still a boot.
I'm going with the Beehive boot.
I am as well. Our last matchup, and it's random draw. Boy, so this is what you get.
Fizzled out like a fart.
Oh boy, it's the anniversary award between Bowling Green and Kent State.
Okay,
and it's
the anniversary award.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. It's just It's commemorating the founding of Kent State and Bowling Green, which were both founded not too far apart in 1910 in Ohio.
Sweet plaque that they give each other.
It's, yeah, it's basically a plaque. And it is up against the bell, not the victory bell, but the bell between Ohio, no, not state, just no, Ohio.
Just Ohio.
And Marshall.
Yeah. By default, the bell wins just because it is.
It doesn't suck.
Moderately cooler.
Just because it's not a plaque?
Yeah, it's not a plaque with the state of Ohio on it. No. Yeah, I'm out on that. Who were winners yesterday, by the way?
I am just going to get there.
Oh.
Your winners between the victory bell at North Carolina Duke and the Ram Falcon Trophy of Air Force Colorado State in a landslide. Ram Falcon runs away with it.
All right, yep. 73% of the vote.
Should not surprise anyone.
Mm-mm. Nope.
At all.
Nope.
Winner number two, scrolling up here, this one was close-ish, we think. 59% of the vote going to the Stanford Axe of Stanford Cal up against the Palmetto Trophy of Clemson, South Carolina.
I'm 2-for-2 on my votes so far.
In the other Air Force matchup, the Commander's Trophy of Army, Navy, and Air Force against the Illibuck, the Wooden Turtle is crushed. 31.
All right.
Commander's Trophy runs away with it. And in the final matchup of the day yesterday, the Silver Spade of UTEP and New Mexico State crushes. This is one of the more absolutely dominant wins over the Governor's Cup of Georgia and Georgia Tech.
Well, this is 79.8% to 20.2%. And look, the Governor's Cup, it looks like a flag football trophy.
It does.
When you hand out that as your rivalry trophy between Georgia and Georgia Tech, I don't care about your brand. The shovel is cooler.
Be better.
And this is why I'm giving, like, I don't know where the golden egg came from. I'll give that a whole heck of a lot of credit, because it doesn't look like a flag football trophy. It doesn't look like something you can go down to the local trophy shop and just pick up. It's something that is unique and not done.
The whole point of these things is to get weird.
Yep.
And to be different.
Yeah.
Let's get weird. Like, the weirder the trophy, the better. Like, the oil can and the frying pan. Like, or the not frying pan, the
no, this is a frying pan. Iron skillet.
Iron skillet. That's what, yeah. Like, get weird.
Yeah.
Fight over household objects.
Let's go.
That's what I want to see. All right, coming up next, back to college football. Which team in the top 10 is most likely to not be there when it's all said and done? Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
College football is nearly upon us. AP poll was released yesterday, and I don't think there's a single surprise in there. Maybe a few teams that were rated a little higher than I think may have deserved, and I think those are the ones that we'll probably highlight here as the teams most likely in the top 10 right now to not be there.
Yeah, this was crazy. As I was kind of looking through and reading through all of the AP preseason stuff, I take it all with a grain of salt. And because none of these teams have played, especially with the transfer portal right now, and the way that teams can accentuate their weaknesses and fill holes on their roster, and you don't know how it's all going to gel together. And teams lose a lot, they bring in a lot, there's so much roster turnover that it is hard to get a good gauge on how a team is going to perform now more so than ever. And it's just a preseason poll and people are just projecting what's going to happen. I really, preseason polls, they're just for fans to have something to talk about. But 18 out of the last 20 seasons, a team ranked in the top 10 has not been ranked in the final AP poll. 18 of the last 20 years. Think about that. Like, that's an incredible run of teams that they're like, hey, this is one of the 10 best teams in the country. Nope. Not even one of the 25 best teams in the country. And we see teams that with like 4 and 5 losses at the back end of the top 25 pool.
And for reference, those 10 teams that are in your top 10 this year in the preseason top 25, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama. That is your top five. Next group is Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan, and Florida State.
Yeah.
My initial thought when you asked me about this was to go Notre Dame. Because of, number one, new quarterback coming in, number two, losing a left tackle. But I immediately went, they have maybe 2 losable games on their schedule. And so they'll still find a way to be in the top 25, even if they're not there.
And everybody, their schedule's a joke. We always talk about Notre Dame being wildly overrated. They usually are pretty properly rated. They're like one of the teams that very rarely moves from the preseason to the postseason.
I think
in the last
too high,
10 years, they've only dropped, like, I think one time they've moved more than 3 spots up or down.
I think there's probably some inherent bias in that.
But you look at, they got, and for my money, I think he is one of the best transfer quarterbacks that entered the portal this year, and Riley Leonard out of Duke goes to Notre Dame, and it was a quick, easy decision. Their defense is going to be really good. They improved in the skill positions. They're going to be good, and as you said, their schedule is just so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Notre Dame, they
have 2 potential losses.
They have 3 ranked opponents on their schedule in the preseason polls. Again, that doesn't mean much, but when you look at who the other opponents are, you're like, all right, are we really scared of Northern Illinois, Purdue, Miami of Ohio, Louisville could be ranked at some point during the season, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, Virginia, Army. Those are the teams that are not ranked heading in. They have week 1, Texas A&M, and then they have, let's see here, 2, 4, 6, 8, week 9, Florida State, and then week 12, USC. Those are your ranked opponents. They are spread out. You have 8 weeks between the first two and then 2 weeks in between your last two ranked opponents.
Yeah, and it's funny is the other team that's on here is the ACC team that I think is also the most likely candidate to fall out here, but runs into the exact same situation. Florida State, who do they play?
They don't have a lot, and they'll be able to work through a lot of things early in the season.
And they replace Jordan Travis with DJ.
DJ Uiagalelei
is going to take over. He's not going to have the playmaking capacity necessarily of Jordan Travis, but their defense is very good. Norvell's a hell of a coach. Like, he's just getting through ACC play. They have to manage to handle Clemson. Beyond that,
Miami.
Oh, it's through Miami.
Miami is a rivalry game. They'll give them some problems. Yeah. They have Notre Dame on their schedule too. But it's not a gauntlet. And then you have Florida at the end of the year. Who the hell knows what Florida's going to look like at the end of the year? But that could be a tough hurdle to clear. But Florida has the toughest schedule in the entire country this year. They just may be so beaten down that they
fold,
push their chips to the middle, and just say we're done, we're out. Florida State is one of those. I look at 2 of the Big Ten teams that are in the top 10 in Penn State and Michigan as 2 teams that could be there, because Michigan they don't have the Patsy scheduled like they had a year ago. Remember, the first when Jim Harbaugh was suspended for the first three games of the season last year, it was, well, they're not going to really need him anyway, because it was like Bowling Green, Western Kentucky, and then some other slappy that was in there. Maybe it was like Indiana or something that they had. But this year, you come out of the gate, you have Fresno State week one. Week two, though, you have Texas. Week four is USC. You have to go on the road and play at Washington October 5th. And I've said this, and I believe it, Washington will get better as the season goes on. I don't think that they're like a playoff contending team. They will not be as bad as they will start out. They're going to be pretty damn good. They're going to be really well coached, and they are going to develop their guys as the season goes on. But they also have Oregon and Ohio State on that schedule. There's four games on there that they could lose. I mean, very easily.
Yeah.
So I go Michigan is a prime candidate for that. And I also think Penn State, too, because Penn State has the biggest issue is beating the elite teams that are on their schedule. Good news for them, though, they don't have very many elite games outside of Ohio State. They miss Michigan. They miss Oregon. They do have Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And they have a three-week run that will determine how their season goes. Yeah. And it's at USC, at Wisconsin, versus Ohio State. After that, they very easily could lose the fourth game in that run against a team like UW.
Because you're caught up in it all.
Because you're caught up in it all, and you're just beat up, and again, you just kind of fold. And there's, at that point in the season, mid-October to early November, though you talk about the dog days, I mean, that's the worst time to have the toughest stretch of your
schedule.
Not
only that, you're flying across the country 1 week, coming back, taking on Wisconsin. So you go, you fly to L.A., you come back, then you take on Wisconsin, then you go from that, they had that one at home, right?
What? Which one?
Penn State has Wisconsin at home, right?
Nope, they're at Wisconsin.
Oh, God.
They go at USC, Wisconsin.
So they go to...
They have a bye week in between there.
But, I mean, you go across the country, then you go play Wisconsin at Camp Randall.
Yep.
And then you go play Ohio State. Like, that's about as tough a run as you can get in college football, I'd say.
Yeah. And I think another the other team that a lot of folks are kind of going, huh? Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss... I don't think they're going to be the team that drops out of the top 25.
I honestly, they're the sneaky team, I think, in the SEC.
They don't play and I mean this like as nicely as I can to SEC people that'll be freaking out about this. They don't play a good team until mid-October.
And it's Bama, right?
No, LSU. They don't play Alabama.
Oh, did they miss Bama this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Their schedule goes Furman, Middle Tennessee State, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern, Kentucky at home, at South Carolina, and then they go to LSU, Oklahoma, at Arkansas, against Georgia, at Florida, and the Mississippi State.
Pretty tough close.
It is a tough close. Well, LSU, Oklahoma, and Georgia.
Yeah.
Those are three games in 4 weeks. That's brutal.
Yeah, and then the Mississippi State to close it out?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rivalry game.
Rivalry game.
Stuff can get weird.
But this all hinges on the health of Jackson Dart.
And best quarterback in the SEC?
No, Carson Beck. It's still Carson Beck.
You think
Carson
so?
Beck's good.
I don't buy it. I think what he has around him is better. I think Dart's a better quarterback.
I think Carson Beck is really damn good. I like Jackson Dart a lot.
Yeah.
I like Dart. But Beck is, he's got the frame, gets a ball out quick. When you have all those guys on the outside, yeah, he does have a ton of weapons around him, but he doesn't screw it up. Like, I mean, Jackson Dart, sometimes you got your roller coaster drives where you're not wrong. Oh my God, what was he thinking? You know, there's plays where Lane Kiffin's throwing his play sheet up in the air because it's a big play for a touchdown. He also does the same damn thing when Jackson Dart makes a decision that he's like, why in the world would you ever throw that football?
Why would you do this?
Yeah, but I love Dart. I think as we're talking, we're talking about this with, you know, the NFL draft coming up for next year and how people are evaluating that class. I think he's a guy that we could see dramatically rise as he has a great season this year.
Darts only, baby.
I love Dart.
Darts only.
Not your door.
Well, I mean, that's his OnlyFans.
Can I defend Shooter Sanders for a minute?
No.
There's a clip going out and circulating about Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter getting a heated argument during practice. It was the most normal conversation that I think a receiver and a quarterback could have. It was about a stuttering go route that Travis Hunter was running, and Shedeur Sanders was, they were both arguing whether he should have just stuck it at 10 and stayed or stuttered and go. Okay. Travis Hunter's like, I could beat him, I want to go. And Shedeur was arguing with him, like, if he's going to give you a cushion,
take it.
Take it. We'll get 10 yards and then beat him after that. And it was the most normal conversation, and people are trying to blow it up into something that it's not.
Look,
there's a plenty of things that you can criticize Colorado for, and Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Mm-hmm. This isn't one of them.
Look, the one that I go to when it pertains to quarterback and wide receiver is, I think Peyton Manning is looked at as like the calm, steadying force that everyone loved and was the cuddly bear quarterback. He told Austin Colley as a rookie that if he tried to put one hand up for a ball, he'd never get another ball thrown his way ever again. Have you ever seen that? It's one of my favorite clips ever.
Yes.
Austin Colley went up for a ball on the sideline with one hand. He caught it.
Yeah.
And he came back, and Peyton basically grabbed him by the face mask and said, if you go up with that ball for one-handed ever again, I will never throw you another ball.
It's healthy. It's normal.
Like, so, yeah, this kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
I want to take this discussion and kind of flip it on its head.
Okay.
The idea of, like, who's most likely to fall out. There's something I've been thinking about, and I was thinking about as I was coming in this morning, is the 12-team playoff. Of these teams that are in this top 15, top 20, who does a 12-team playoff benefit the most?
Of the top 20?
Yeah.
Of all of the teams that are ranked in the preseason, like...
Yeah. Think about that right now. When we come back from break, I want to dive into this.
I think it's pretty easy for me.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll get into that more. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports and Update. My question before we went into the break was, with the college football playoff going to the 12-team format, what team benefits the most? Or I guess you can open up to what teams benefit the most.
Yeah, I think it's the winner of the Big 12, and that is, in my opinion, the best team heading into this season, Utah. Because you are guaranteed, as a Power Four conference winner, one of them buys. And so at that point, you're looking at, if you are Utah and you're the four seed, you have one less game. And what has been the big bugaboo at Utah at the end of the year? Health. Right?
Whether it's a quarterback or a tight end.
Whether it's quarterback or a tight end. And you're going to have the extra ramp up time where whoever you are playing is going to be having a game the week prior. You will have the benefit of preparation. And if you are one of those teams, think about this, right? If you're Utah and you're the fourth seed, okay, as the winner of the Big 12, you're going to be playing the winner of 5-12 in the 5-12 matchup. You're not going to be sitting there like, I don't know, Georgia, if they're the one seed, right? If we go by the preseason rankings, Georgia, number one preseason rated team in the country. They would be playing the winner of the 8-9 matchup, which, if it's seeded properly, right, the 8-9, that's a toss-up game. You don't know who's going to win that.
Sure.
Utah, not only are you sitting there and you're off for a week as a four seed, but you're also playing the winner of a 5-12 matchup. And at that point, you have a pretty damn good idea of who you're going to be playing. And so you get 2 weeks of preparation. So basically, you're preparing for it like it's a bowl game. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a massive benefit. And this is why the SEC and the Big Ten were kind of fighting for, we shouldn't just be all conference champs that get the bye. It should just be the four best teams that get that bye. Because in a perfect world, they would have two SEC, two Big Ten teams with a bye as the top four rated teams in the country.
I'm going to go the other way here. Who missed out on the college football playoff last year? Florida State and Georgia.
Yeah.
If Georgia's scheduled this year, they've got number 14 Clemson, number 5 Alabama, number 4 Texas, number 6 Ole Miss, number 15 Tennessee. They have five top 25 teams on their schedule with three of them on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Even as the number one seed or the number one overall ranked team, I think there's a pretty likely chance that they lose two games this year.
It's college football.
As great as they are.
Carson Beck's girlfriend breaks up with him, and he like gets depressed.
Just absolutely goes in the tank for a week.
Yeah, like it's college.
God,
happens.
Who did they almost lose to last year? They had no business almost losing. They scored nothing. It was, God, who was that?
Well, it happened, I think, a couple of times to them. Yeah, it happened to them early against South Carolina. They end up winning 24-14.
There was another game, though, where it came down to the final couple seconds.
Georgia Tech, they won 31-23.
That's what it was. It was
they
Tech.
They had a game that was closer than it should have been, as well against Missouri. Missouri? Was Missouri leading late? Yeah.
Yo, no, that's Missouri. I was see the leading, yellow in my head.
Missouri was leading in the the third quarter, and then Georgia tacked on a couple late and ended up winning comfortably. But
that was the game that I was thinking of. Missouri was comfortably ahead.
It was 24-21 Georgia with like 8 minutes to play, and then they kicked a field goal and sealed the deal.
But my point being, with the expanded playoff, Georgia can take a punch and not fall out. And I think that's what's going to make this interesting is that those teams...
Well, think about that. But Utah has that same advantage, too, because all they have to do is win the Big 12.
No, you're right.
You know? But, like,
and they, well, here's
Florida
the thing.
State, the ACC.
Utah might end up... And let's say they go undefeated through the Big 12.
Yeah.
They might end up with a bye.
Yeah.
Legitimately, they could. Now, Georgia, if they end up outside of the top four, because they get two losses or whatever the situation is, but they're still in the dance.
Yep.
And if you're a team that's like, hey, we could get the right path if we just make it. The thing to me that is super interesting here is that all of a sudden, now you've got Georgia in a bracket that nobody expected them to be in, and they just run roughshod. Do they have to play one more game?
Yep.
Sure. But now all of a sudden their path got easier.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like more SEC, more Big Ten teams. Same. I think those two conferences, they will benefit because I think of the team I always will go back to. Stanford deserved a shot to play in a national title. They stubbed their toe and they didn't get to do it. Right. Andrew Luck, when they won the Orange Bowl with Jim Harbaugh, like that was, in my mind, that was one of the top two teams in college football that year. They didn't get a shot to play. Last year it was Florida State and it was Georgia, and you're like, well, them's the breaks. There will always be those teams.
And I think this is going to allow for, everyone's going to say, well, it doesn't matter if you expand it. The best team's going to win. It's college football, but buddy. No, they're not.
Yeah.
It's going to get sideways real quick.
I can't wait for it. I'm excited for that.
We saw it already in four teams with TCU.
Yeah.
We've already seen it. You're going to add eight more teams to this, and you don't think that this is going to be at least mildly chaotic? Are you out of your mind? This is 20-year-old kids. It's going to get sideways. The whole idea of like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter because of buys, and, you know, they're going to be rested. Like, you're telling me that if some team gets a home game on their campus, and they, like, even if they're the higher seed but they're the worst team, you're just sitting there going, oh, you don't think that? Think about it this way. Penn State, I'm not a Drew Aller guy. That's just not my thing, right? But it's late December. They're hosting a home playoff game. It's a whiteout in December at Penn State. It might be snowing, and you send Ole Miss up to Penn State, Alabama up to Penn State, Georgia up to Penn State. You don't think things can get weird when all of a sudden those SEC teams are freezing to death?
Yeah.
That's what I love about this. And I think
it's going to be the most exciting part is that it'll force teams that don't like to leave to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part of this where there's going to be opportunities for teams that stub their toe, but also teams that capitalize in those first round, those home playoff games. It's going to get so weird. All right, coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show before handing you off to Isaac Soup here on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan. It's a comeback of sorts in the NFL. Martavis Bryant. If the name sounds mildly familiar, it's because at one point in time, he was an NFL wide receiver.
Alive?
Alive and in the NFL even.
Been a long time.
The Washington Commanders are bringing Martavis Bryant back after what is going to turn into essentially a six-year suspension due to substance abuse.
My goodness.
It was a five-year suspension. He was reintroduced to the league in the end of 2023, November 2023.
How do I not remember Martavis Bryant being suspended for like 6 years?
It was a five plus year suspension from 2018 until 2023. he is being added to the Commanders wide receiver room, and he has the opportunity to make the team because he gives the Commanders something they don't have.
Size. Yeah. And that is wild to me because Martavis Bryant, he's like our new Josh Gordon story. Yeah.
Hopefully one that's
getting popped for...
That doesn't get popped again.
I wonder, think about how we feel about marijuana now as opposed to when Josh Gordon was in the NFL.
Well, the problem with Gordon was it was
habitually using marijuana over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. When you know the rules and you know you're under the microscope. Like, that was the get out of your own way, pal. And truly an addiction, which is very sad. But for Martavis Bryant, I hope I was always rooting for Josh Gordon to finally figure it out. And I had seriously no idea Martavis Bryant was in the substance abuse program for this long.
Yeah.
Dang.
And remember when he got suspended, he had a 4-game suspension. With the Raiders, he got suspended. And back then, the drug policy was when you got a 4-game suspension, that meant you had failed 3 drug tests.
And they don't test you all the time.
No.
There's like about a month out of the year that you have got to make sure your pee is clean.
It was the dumbest thing. And now it's not like they don't care in the NFL anymore. It's not a thing.
Yeah. Wow.
They got smarter about it. But yeah, this is it's a fun little story.
Yeah. I hope he makes it.
I do too.
And he catches a bunch of touchdowns from Jaden Daniels out there. He looked really damn good. Jaden Daniels looked a lot better than I thought he would.
It's going to be fun to watch.
It's a preseason game.
It's going to be fun to watch the first couple months of the season to see what this stuff looks like.
I go back to. We thought Zach Wilson looked good for a preseason game.
Hey, look, even in actual football games, we've seen Zach Wilson look good for a drive or two.
I know.
And last year we saw it and we went, hey, did he turn the corner?
Sun even shines on a dog's ass some days.
Yeah.
For Zach Wilson, he got that Nathaniel
Hackett bump. He was like, yeah, I like this Nathaniel Hackett guy.
Hey, speaking of quarterbacks coming back around, did you see what the Raiders did?
No.
Peterman's back.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
The Nathan Peterman reality tour.
That needs to stop.
I saw it pop up on my phone this morning, and I wanted to die.
How?
Different coach, different front office, different everything, and yet this man is
he has the blackmail on
Mark Davis.
It's Mark Davis. Yeah. It is Mark Davis he has the nudes of. Yeah. Because there's no reason Nathan Peterman should be in the NFL right now.
No.
Because, we know he can throw 5 interceptions in a game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of his peak.
Yeah.
Well, is it nudes that he has, or is it just that Mark Davis on his own with that haircut already looks like he's wearing a fireman's helmet?
I don't know, man. But at least we know it's Mark Davis that he has the goods on.
Because it's the new coach. It's a new front office.
Is he just like is he like Adam Sandler? Is he the best friend ever? Is he just the nicest guy? And is like, you know what? I'm here for everybody else. Does he throw great parties?
Mark Davis.
What is it?
Mark Davis and Peterman going the, Catalina wine mixer?
Yeah, probably. I saw Tyson Bagent, the Bears backup. I saw a press conference with him where not what I was expecting out of Tyson Bagent.
Oh, he's a...
Hat was on crooked. He's from West Virginia.
He's a Tyler Harrow white.
Yeah, his hat was on crooked. And they asked him about what he's working his balls off this this off season. And they asked him what the most ridiculous workout he did was, or the hardest workout. Mm-hmm. He said, burpee broad jump mile. And they're like, what is that? He's like, well, you do a burpee and then you broad jump and you do that for a mile. That sounds like hell.
That would cause me to vomit profusely. Yeah.
And then they showed video of him doing it and he is tatted up. His entire back.
Oh no, he's
a
Tyler Herro White.
Whoa,
yeah,
that was crazy.
Him and Ricky Pearsall.
All right, that does it for us today.
There you go.
Up next,
the books.
You got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday from noon to 3 right here on the Fan.
Bye.
Bye.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.